My dear friends, today is the feast of St. Joachim, the father of our Blessed Mother, and there is also a commemoration for the Sunday after Pentecost in the Mass, as well as a proper last gospel for the Sunday after Pentecost. For the feast of St. Joachim, the epistle is taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 31. Blessed is the man that is found without blemish, and that hath not gone after gold, nor hath put his trust in money, nor in treasures. Who is he who will praise him? For he hath done wonderful things in his life. Who hath been tried thereby and made perfect? He shall have glory everlasting. He that hath transgressed and not transgressed, he could do evil things and hath not done them. Therefore are the goods established in the Lord, and all the church of the saints shall declare his alms. And the Holy Gospel is the beginning of the Gospel of St. Matthew. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas, and his brethren, and Judas begot Phares and Zarah of Tamar, and Phares begot Esron, and Esron begot Aram, and Aram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Naasson, and Naasson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Booz of Rahab, and Booz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon, of her who had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begot Roboam, and Roboam begot Abia, and Abia begot Asa, and Asa begot Josaphat. And Josaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Ozias. Ozias begot Joatam, and Joatam begot Achaz. And Achaz begot Ezekias, and Ezekias begot Manasses. And Manasses begot Amon, and Amon begot Josias. And Josias begot Jeconias, and his brethren in the transmigration of Babylon. And after the transmigration of Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim. And Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Sadok. And Sadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud. And Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matan. And Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed is the man that could have transgressed and hath not transgressed, and could do evil things and hath not done them. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In his book on the life of our Blessed Mother, the author Raphael Brown states that concerning Our Lady's parents, they inherited from their ancestors a love of humility, chastity, and mortification, and the leading of a simple life. For Our Lady, her mother St. Anne, and her father St. Joachim, whose feast we celebrate today, they were the finest products of a long line of pure and holy servants of God. And their life, of course, bears out these facts, not so much that they were the parents of Our Lady, but what made them worthy to become the parents of Our Lady. You see, it happened that one day, while she was still young, St. Anne was praying fervently to God to give her a husband that would help her to live her life according to the divine laws of God. Tradition tells us that at the same time, St. Joachim was also praying for the same grace, to find a wife who would render him this same spiritual assistance. And it was in answer to their fervent prayers that Almighty God sent to them the Archangel Gabriel to announce that their prayers had been answered. Saint Gabriel first appeared to Saint Anne, and he told her that her prayer was pleasing to God, and that she should accept a man named Joachim as her husband. The angel then appeared to Saint Joachim to let him know that his prayer had also been heard, and that he would soon meet a woman named Anne to take for his wife, and that her soul was most pleasing to God. To both Joachim and Anne, St. Gabriel told them, though, to give thanks and to continue their life of prayer and their upright way of living. Very soon it happened then that they met, and with the permission of St. Anne's father, she and Joachim were married, and they began to practice in earnest a life of charity and all the other virtues that they had so desired. It was remarkable amongst their friends that the more that St. Joachim and Anne gave to charity, to the help of the temple and to the poor especially, the more they were blessed by God. Their life was the admiration of all, and they were virtuous and known to be so. Everything looked like they were set for a very successful and happy married life, and that God had smiled down upon this new couple. But soon a cross entered their life, a cross which would grow day by day and test their faith, even their faith in the message that they had received from St. Gabriel. For it was at this time in history that to be without children was the greatest curse of God. And naturally, in their very small local village, in their small family circles, it was usually an object of conversation to talk about the coming Messiah, for there were many things that pointed towards that direction that soon the Messiah would come. And when this topic of conversation started, well, then it would soon become obvious that Joachim and Anne had not yet brought a child into the world. Under this great misfortune and this social disgrace, they now had to live amongst the others, with everybody now viewing them with a certain skepticism that was common of that day, and which was visited upon all those who were childless. It was just generally taken as a known fact that there must be something wrong with the couple, or there must be some virtue that they're not practicing that makes them very offensive to God if they're not going to bring children into the world. And so Anne and Joachim, even though they continued to live virtuous lives, they had to suffer from the contempt and even the external insults from their neighbors and acquaintances. Spiritual authors tell us that in their profound humility, they felt that their great affliction was truly because some way they had proven themselves unworthy to the Lord. And so for the space of about 20 years, they prayed daily, they made great acts of mortification. They even vowed to God that if a child would be born to them, they would dedicate that child to the temple. 20 years elapsed, and their prayer seemed to go without answer, and their shame increased each day. The trial was so hard to bear that it became nearly impossible. And then one day, as Joachim was entering the temple, one of the priests, in a very proud and haughty manner, spoke out for all to hear. He upbraided St. Joachim, and he said, "Why do you come here, Joachim? Your offerings are not acceptable to the Lord." Unable to live under such public shame, St. Joachim took a portion of his flocks up to Mount Hermon, and there he abode several months alone, with no communication with anyone else, not even with St. Anne. It was at this time that St. Anne herself was unjustly rebuked by a servant girl. This girl had the audacity to tell St. Anne, "God has inflicted you with a double punishment. You are sterile, and now your husband has abandoned you." And it was in this sad, utter state of helplessness that the holy couple continued to pray to God for light and strength to bear with this terrible affliction. But once again, God was testing their faith, proving them by a trial of darkness to show what great saints they truly were. And so, as they were suffering from this, God once again sent St. Gabriel to them. Once again, he had a message now 20 years later. He first again appeared to St. Anne and told her, "Anne, servant of God, the Lord has heard thy petitions. If he delays his fulfillment, it's in order to prepare thee and give thee more than thou hast asked. The Most High has resolved to give thee and Joachim a holy and wonderful fruit for which thou hast prayed in humble confidence, and thou art most agreeable to him." Then came these words which could have taken St. Anne's life away from pure joy and awe. St. Gabriel told her in very similar words that he would one day tell her daughter, "Thou shalt bring forth a daughter, and thou shalt call her Mary, who is to give birth to the Redeemer of mankind." And before leaving her, St. Gabriel instructed St. Anne to go to the temple, to renew her vow of offering the child to God, and then to depart out of what was known as the Golden Gate. Then he went to see St. Joachim in his lonely retreat, and here he had the same inspiring message for St. Joachim, and he told him also to return to the temple. And what was remarkable was when St. Joachim went back to the temple this time, the priests welcomed him in with great reverence and courtesy, even though there's no way they could have known what St. Gabriel had told him. He was permitted this time to make his offering and to spend all the time he wanted in undisturbed prayer, pouring out his abundant thanks to God. He too had been instructed to leave the temple through the Golden Gate, and as the priests were leading St. Anne out, she and St. Joachim met at the same time. They had not seen each other in months, but their joy-filled reunion was beyond imagination. Together, they told each other what St. Gabriel had mentioned to the other one, and immediately they prepared their house and all their servants for a magnificent party to honor and to make thanksgiving to God for the great grace he bestowed upon them. And from that day forward, their intense prayer and supplication was turned to fervent prayer of happiness and gratitude. Often they were seen to weep with tears of joy and love, for God had finally heard their petition. And through trial and humiliation, he prepared them for that great day when the Immaculate Conception of the Mother of God would take place on earth. And my dear friends, how often in our lives we pray and beg God for certain favors and graces. But we must realize that quite often when difficulties arise, or when our prayer seems to go unanswered, even if it's for the space of 20 years like that of St. Joachim and Anne, we have to realize that this might not necessarily be a sign of God's displeasure. But very often, when God withholds the answering of a prayer, it's to purify us and to make us more worthy of the grace that we're asking. When we look at the lives of God's most chosen souls, we see that he works with these souls, truly seeking to fill them with every great blessing and grace. But he always begins this work by sending them trials, sufferings, humiliations, and crosses. This is the first step of the process. It's the step whereby we put ourselves away and place all of our trust and confidence in God. For if these things did not happen to us first, then we might easily conclude that whatever grace we receive comes from some goodness of our own. So when this purification process starts, we must look to it not as seeing that we are unworthy, but as a gift from heaven, as a necessary purification to clear the way, as it was, for the grace or the blessing that we ask, and especially for the grace and blessing of eternal salvation. These purifications, though, are what our human nature dreads the most. In the magnificent book, The Imitation of Christ, St. Thomas a Kempis devotes an entire chapter to this idea. He shows how very often we ask or we desire graces from God, and yet how foreign to us is that process of purification which is so necessary. He says that Jesus has many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few who are willing to bear his cross. Nearly everyone in the world wants to be happy, and happy for all eternity, especially those who believe in Christ. But how few want to follow Christ on the way of the cross? How few remember that Christ did not rise from the dead, nor gloriously ascend into heaven, until first he had suffered his terrible and dolorous passion? Our Lady herself was not crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth until she was first made the Queen of Sorrows on Good Friday. St. Thomas a Kempis continues, Many of us love Jesus as long as we meet with no adversity. All desire to rejoice with him, but few are willing to suffer with him. So let us then take to ourselves this idea on the great feast of Saint Joachim and follow the stellar example that was given to us by our Lord's grandparents. Let us see that even if these holy souls, who were set apart by God, who had been visited by an archangel, if even they had to suffer humiliation and a purification for over 20 years, we must do the same. Imagine how long that must have been to suffer constantly for 20 years, when it would seem that God was not hearing their prayers, and especially since their prayer was to bring a child into the world, and that usually is something that can only happen in a certain period of time. As each year rolled past, and as it seemed more and more impossible with advanced age that they would be able to bring a child into the world, imagine how it seemed that God had completely turned a deaf ear to their prayer. But after their 20 years of ignominy and public ridicule, this has now been followed by over 2,000 years of exaltation and praise. They lived for 20 years, faithful to God and praying to him for grace, and yet, at the end of that 20 years, they were given the title and the dignity of being the parents of the Mother of God. Persevere then, my dear friends, in your trials. Persevere in your prayers for blessings and for grace upon yourself and your loved ones. Take Saint Joachim and Saint Anne as your examples. For if you pray humbly with perseverance as they did, you can be assured that God, who is unchanging, who so greatly blessed them, will bless you as well. And God, when he sees fit to bring an end to your suffering and trials here, will begin to give you the joy and the fruits of your labors that you so earnestly desire. And in his infinite goodness and blessing, he will give you a taste of that fruit that you will endure and enjoy forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.